Hi, I'm Jake Peterson. I'm a student at Hudson High School in New York, and this is a poem I wrote. Here the streets have emptied out, all our distorted hopes have fallen down, but once we looked upon with pride, now our quelled dreams are drenched in solace, and while a scar of agony taints our tempered eyes, a once bright light is draped in darkness. Now I sit with my two children, mouths hollow agape. They ask me, Papa, what has happened to you? But I simply cannot answer, for I wish to escape. Untie my belt, tear off this uniform, and would you please rip apart this cape? Out here in the fields where time flew by, I visit the weeping willows, and even they envy mine. Perhaps I'm beginning to understand, for what is a man if not a willow? I grab onto a branch, and it let loose. Amidst shrieks of horror, I gazed into the open wound. The marketplace is still silently bold, rebel banners the flagpoles hold, at which a youth had admired. Now only a husk may despise. The desire for defense left a lost folk inspired, and we fought for causes faithlessly disguised. Walking back home, sorrow-filled faces stare at mine, but in their souls was no sadness, only disappointment, I am certain. Why have they done this to us, they cry, but they are not wise nor feeble, for they have seen no fight, for they bear no burden, for they haven't fought alongside the forces of evil. And ever since I've gone back home, nothing's been the same. My world is rocked back and forth, and I feel I've gone insane. I am not the person I once was, for now I am wiser. But still, in the hearts of my closest advisors, lays no shame. Thus, I have chosen to leave. Slipping into the dead of night, I wish this place farewell. For if I ever do return, I'll be damned. And as I travel this untouched road, I feel a sense of righteousness, a deep relieving swell, a warm tiding bestowed as I am freed of my cell. And that was my poem, A Farewell. And if you couldn't tell, it was inspired by The Raven, by Edgar Allan Poe. And although he lived in an antebellum world, this was a postbellum setting. So thank you so much for listening.
Welcome, radio listeners. You're listening to Bound by Books Youth Radio on WGXC 90.7 FM, Acre, Catskill, Hudson, and beyond. Listener-supported radio for open ears. I'm Emily. I'm the director of the Hudson Area Library, and I'm from Hudson.
I'm Fatia. I'm 11 years old, and I'm also from Hudson.
And we're here every week talking about books.
Books we love, books we hate, and bookish things.
And that's what we're going to do today. I read a lot of books this past week. I was on a reading roll, so I have a handful to talk about today. I know Fatia wanted to get us started with a poem to get us ready for an upcoming holiday. You want to go ahead and share that?
Sure. Valentine's Day. Valentines of pink and red. Special words of kindness said. Small surprises, funny jokes, paper hearts, and friendly notes. The best part of this happy day is that I get the chance to say, today and for the whole year too, I'm glad I have a friend like you.
Aw, that's nice. It's like a Valentine for a friend, as opposed to like romantic love Valentine. That's
Yeah.
Sweet. I like it. Do you like Valentine's Day as a holiday?
I find it like really sweet, and I find it like a romantic holiday.
I think there's nice things about it. I think I liked it more when I was a kid because that was when people did Valentines and you might get a surprise either from a friend or from a crush. I feel like it's not a holiday that I celebrate as an adult, although I like things about it. Like I like flowers. I know a lot of people get flowers for Valentine's Day or give flowers. And I like chocolate, and that's a nice thing about Valentine's Day. But I think people should have chocolate all the time, unless they have a health reason that they can't. And I like the bright colors associated with Valentine's Day. I feel like especially where we live, where it's cold, dark winter, it's nice to have some bright colors. So those are the things I like. But occasionally I get a Valentine at the library. Some of my little kid friends sometimes give me Valentines, and that's very sweet. Do you do anything fun at school for Valentine's Day?
When I was younger, we used to have a lot of parties, but now, like, since we're older, we have fewer parties, but per year, like, we have, like, one or two parties, but when I was younger, we had, like, five Valentine's party for almost every holiday.
Well, I hope you have a good Valentine's Day. Hope everyone out there listening does as well. We love all of you for listening. A happy Valentine's Day. Thanks for sharing the poem, Fatia. One thing I really love is books. And a type of book that I especially love are graphic novels. And I read at least four of them in the past week, maybe more. I'm working on one right now too, but I wanted to share some of the ones that I finished. They were all very good. I enjoyed all of them. And I think all of them are out except one. So one I read is a preview, was a preview copy for an upcoming release by Gua Jing, who writes a lot of picture books. I don't know how many graphic novels they've done, but this one, I think of it as a graphic novel. Yeah, it had panels and all that. I'll read you the description for this one. Gigi and her little brother Didi are living on their own in a barren desert while their mother works tirelessly to earn their admission into Oasis City. Their days are filled with weathering sandstorms and scavenging for water, but everything changes when they come across an AI-powered robot lying dormant in an abandoned junkyard. Filled with equal parts hope and suspense, Oasis tells the story of a potentially not-so-distant future that you won't ever forget. And now that I'm thinking about it, so Gua Jing, the most of the books that I've read by them were wordless picture books. I believe they didn't have words. So they told the story through images. And I think maybe they did have a paneled structure. I can't remember. I haven't read them in a while. But they're very beautiful illustrations. And this one is no exception. And so, yeah, it's about these two children who are living in the sort of dystopian future and very barren land. And their mother's off working in a place called Oasis City. And so they spend their days taking care of each other, playing, making their meals, getting water from their water source. And occasionally they go to this phone booth where they can get a call from their mom. And one day they come across an AI robot, or an AI-powered robot, I should say, who becomes their AI mom, as they call her, and brings some great joy into their life as they're very much missing their mother. So it's a very interesting story. It's very beautifully told, definitely heavy on the illustrations, as that's this author's style, but there are words in it. So there's the little like classic graphic novel speech bubbles. But yeah, I think it's a really beautiful book, and it's pretty quick read as well. And that one comes out later this month. So that's coming out on February 18th. And so people can look out for that if it sounds interesting to them. So again, that's Oasis by Guo Jing, which is Guojing. And then the other books that I read this week are all ones that are currently out. One of them, maybe two of them, are more recent releases. Yeah, so two of them came out in January, and one of them's a bit older of a book. So I realized one of the books that I was going to share today is a book that came out in January that I talked about wanting to read, and we talked about it quite a bit at the time, but I didn't share my thoughts on it. But it was called Chickenpox by Remy Lai, and it was a really fun book. It's about a young person named Abby, who's the eldest sister in a family of five children and parents. And the kids all get chicken pox at the same time. And so she's stuck at home with her siblings. And at the same time that that happens, there's also some friend drama going on. So it's about her surviving her time at home with the chicken pox and with her siblings, and surviving the friend drama at the same time. And it's told in a fun and light way. And I like the messages in it, and the like family scenes that they have are pretty fun and funny. And I think relatable for people that have siblings, some of the hijinks that they get into and the times that they maybe annoy each other, but then sometimes they stand up for each other in ways that are maybe unexpected. And yeah, it was really fun. And I really like Remy Lai a lot. I've read other books by them that I've really enjoyed, and it's been a really broad assortment of types of books. They've all been graphic novels, except for one was kind of more of a novel that was heavily illustrated as opposed to a standard graphic novel, but they all felt very different. Like some of them are earlier readers and really focused about animals. Some are ones like this where there's family dynamics. There's some that have some fantastical elements, whether they're ghosts or like curses. One of them was like super creepy. So yeah, very fun. But the latest is Chickenpox by Remy Lai, and that one came out in January. The other January release that I read recently that I want to share is one that I haven't heard too much about. It's a debut graphic novel by an author who's originally from Amsterdam named Maria van Lieshout, and it's called Song of a Blackbird, and it's historic fiction, but it mixes two different time periods together in a way that I thought was very interesting and well done. So here's the description for this one. Fight, hate, make art. In 1943 Amsterdam, Emma Bergsma's world changes when she witnesses Jewish families being forcibly deported to concentration camps. That pivotal moment lights a fire within her, and she decides to join the Dutch resistance. Before long, Emma is drawn into a clandestine world of printing presses and counterfeiters with thousands of lives on the line. In 2011 Amsterdam, teenage Anique's world has changed as well. A search for a bone marrow donor for her beloved Oma leads to a shocking revelation. Her grandmother was secretly adopted as a child. The only clues to finding their lost family are a series of art prints hanging on the wall, each signed by a mysterious Emma B. This timely graphic novel weaves together two timelines to reveal how art, in the face of political upheaval and nearly insurmountable adversity, can become our greatest lifeline. So as I mentioned, there's these two timelines. So there's 1943, where Emma B, the person whose art prints are later in the possession of Anique and her grandmother, so that it follows Emma in the past and then Anique and her search for more information to help her grandmother in the what we'll call present, but 2011. And the artwork is really beautiful. It mixes in some historic photographs with the artwork in a way that's really interesting, so that when Emma goes to a printing press, there'll be sort of a, I don't know exactly how to describe it, but she uses a photo from a printing press, but then incorporates drawing into it in a way that's really interesting. And it's always good to read about this type of resistance in the face of these horrible acts. So seeing how Emma and her friends resist the Nazi regime and try to help as many people as they can in the process is really moving. And then seeing the story of Anik and her grandmother as well is very touching, and how she pieces together history from these drawings that were made, or these prints that were made back in the 1940s. So highly suggest that one. It's a Song of a Blackbird by Maria van Lieshout. And that one just came out at the end of January, so it's out in the world. And then the last one that I want to share that I just finally read this past week came out, I believe last year must have been. And it had been on my list for a while, and it just won the Michael L. Prince Award. So I was like, okay, now I'm finally going to read it. Because the Michael L. Prince Award is the award that is given out, the American Library Association's Youth Media Awards, for the best teen literature of the year. So this one won that. So it's Brownstone by Samuel Teer and illustrated by Mar Julia. As I mentioned, it's also a graphic novel. This one's geared more towards teens. And I'd say Song of a Blackbird is also probably geared more towards teens, whereas Chickenpox and Oasis are more geared towards younger readers. But here's the description for Brownstone. Alma Dana has always wondered about the dad she never met. Now, with her white mother headed on a once-in-a-lifetime trip without her, she's left alone with her Guatemalan father for an entire summer. Xavier seems happy to see her, but he expects her to live in and help fix up his old broken-down brownstone. And all along, she must navigate the language barrier of his rapid-fire Spanish, which she doesn't speak. As Almudena tries to adjust to this new reality, she gets to know the residents of Xavier's Latin American neighborhood. Each member of the community has their own joys and heartbreaks, as well as their own strong opinions on how this young Latina should talk, dress, and behave. Some can't understand why she doesn't know where she comes from. Others think she's not brown enough to fit in. But time is running out for Almudena and Xavier to get to know each other. And the key to their connection may ultimately lie in bringing all these different elements together. Fixing a broken building is one thing, but turning these stubborn individuals into a found family might take more than this one summer. I feel like that description did a pretty good job of summing it up. I think this graphic novel did a really great job of just pulling you in immediately and making you want to get to know the main character and the people and the neighborhood where she has found herself this summer. And yeah, it's interesting seeing how her relationship with both Xavier and the other people in the neighborhood and that are connected to her through Xavier builds and grows while she's also helping work on this brownstone that her dad is trying to fix up so that it can help people in the community. And seeing her connect more with her heritage as well. She had not really known much about it. For certain reasons that you kind of learn later in the novel, her dad had left when she was a baby, and so had not had a relationship with her throughout her life. So she was not raised in her Guatemalan culture, and so she has a lot to learn about that. And yeah, it's just a really great book. I definitely understand why it was awarded the Michael L. Prince Award. I highly suggest it to anyone who's interested in that type of story. And yeah, great book. So that's Brownstone by Samuel Teer and illustrated by Mar Julia. And again, that's a graphic novel geared towards teens. Those are my suggestions for the week. I'm reading a lot of great books recently. Not all of them are kids' books or young adult books, but some of them are. And I've had a lot of success in picking out good books recently. So that's always fun. It's nice when you pick out a book and you dive in and you're rewarded with a great book as you go. Are you reading anything lately, Fatia, for school or for fun?
So far I'm still thinking about things to read.
But in school, you're not reading any books? Or do you read more like short stories?
Yes, I
Yeah.
sometimes read like kids' book, and there's just one chapter book I still didn't finish. It's called Sweet Tensome. It's a really good book.
Yeah, maybe when you finish it, you can share it on the radio. It'd be fun to hear what you've been reading. But on that note, we're going to wrap it up for the day. But we hope everyone out there listening has a great week filled with lots of quality reading time. And we'll be back next week to talk about some more books. Until then.
Happy reading.
Like bandy bandy. Wave your body. Like bandy bandy, yeah. Like bandy bandy. Wave your body. Like bandy bandy, yeah. Thank you.
you.